Hello, Mike.
Oh, hello, Jay.
You didn't bring me here to talk about Star Wars, did you?
Absolutely not.
Oh, good. Oh, thank Christ.
I brought you here to talk about Star Trek. This is just a little mini documentary about our efforts to bring back to life a long-lost friend, the Salt Vampire.
Hashtag restore the salt vampire.
Right.
We did it.
Resurrect the salt vampire. Right.
Who I was surprised to see. I scrubbed through the episode that he's on in preparation.
She.
Oh, is it a she?
Well.
Is it a they?
I think it might be a they.
Okay. But either way, I scrubbed through the episode in preparation for this and realized that the actual salt vampire is in it for approximately 5 seconds.
Oh, the monstered costume?
Yeah. What's the name of the episode?
It's called The Man Trap.
Oh, okay.
It's from season one. It has...
Sounds a little dated, a little sexist.
Well, maybe it is a female then, because it's The Man Trap.
Mm. Well, I mean, I've seen what the face of the salt vampire looks like, and that's The Man Trap right there, that mouth. It's the most erotic prop since the Dune popcorn bucket.
So The Man Trap is... probably not one of my most favorite Star Trek, the original series episodes, although it has some of my favorite moments, which I'm going to get into.
Okay. What season is it?
It's the first season.
Okay.
It's one of the very earliest episodes. Mm. So in the episode, they beam down to a basically uninhabited planet, and Bones' old girlfriend, Nancy Crater, lives there with her husband. He was a cantankerous old scientist, and Bones sees her as he as she was, you know, 25 years ago, and then it cuts to Kirk, and he sees her as an older woman. Bones is, oh my God, Jim, she looks exactly the same as she did 40 years ago, and then Kirk says, my favorite, she's a handsome woman, Doctor, but
she hasn't aged a day. There's not a gray hair in her head.
She's got some gray bones. Excuse me, Professor. She's a handsome woman, yes, but hardly 25.
And then they have a young ensign with them. To him, she looks like what he implies is a prostitute. And Bones is like, watch her mouth, you son of a bitch. You're talking about my old girlfriend, and she's 60. What the fuck are you doing? And so... he leaves, and then she follows him, and she's like, come on, sailor, let's go out in the middle of nowhere. And then he dies, and he has these suction marks on his face. And then they can't figure out why they died, and they realize he died because she sucked out all the sodium chloride from his body. Oh, and so, it's an episode about love, lost love, wanting, yearning for something.
And a woman sucking men to death? Does Spock ever see the salt vampire? Does it appear to him in some form?
No.
Oh, okay.
Spock is immune to it.
Oh, okay.
And I think that might have been the point of that scene, because when one of the crewmen dies, they call up and they go like, we have one casualty. A crewman has died. Mm. And he's like, okay, let me know. And then Uhura gets mad at him.
That means that somebody is dead and you just sit there.
Lieutenant, my demonstration of concern will not change what has happened.
So Uhura's talking to Spock about loss, the guy on the planet, you know, that was his wife. I think she died, and then the salt vampire took her form so that he could ask people to bring them salt tablets and it could stay alive. But he, of course, was missing his dead wife and was just fine seeing the salt vampire as her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an episode about wanting and loss and dealing with loss, because the hilarious final confrontation is a salt vampire going after Kirk. And then Spock bursts in.
It's killing the captain. Shoot it, Doctor, quickly. No!
And he's like, what are you doing, Doctor? It's the salt vampire. Fucking kill it.
Yeah.
And Bones, he's so like indecisive because it's his old lover. And then Spock goes, look! And he does the double fist thing, and he starts punching her in the face like this. I was like, do you think if it was Carol, she could take this? It's so awesome.
Not Nancy. We're Nancy.
And then Bones is just like, yeah. Kill the salt vampire. You know what the crazy part is? Is that lady played the salt vampire. that actress, like, put the costume on.
Oh, okay.
There's a picture of her on the internet without the mask on.
Oh.
So
put some poor actress, like, we got her here for the day.
Yeah.
Put her in the fucking costume.
There was no, like, fighting. She goes, oh, you know, when Spock does the double hammer on her face over and over again. Do you think she could take this? It's hot, sweaty, furry costume, and put this, like,
it's like a monkey body.
There's no breathing holes in the mask. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Roll camera. Go.
Yeah, that's true. There's no eye holes.
Put the mask on and hope for the best. It was the 60s.
You can wear it for approximately 27 seconds, and then we'll get you out of it.
Take a deep breath. We'll get the shot, and then rip the mask off. So
you probably shot that whole epic climax in like an hour.
Yeah. That was TV back then.
Yeah.
And so that's the story. A fun episode, an iconic Star Trek creature.
That was probably, they scrambled together in like a day or two to make so they would have a creature for the end of the episode.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's not an elaborate, it's kind of like we have the, what's that, Darmok and Jalad?
Head,
we have that.
It's similar to that.
Where it's like, we got to slap a monster together. And it's just something they make quickly without thinking about, you know, any sort of legacy, especially with the original series.
But so the reason we're here today is because we have acquired the original mold that was used to make the mask of the salt vampire. We have a new shipment from Prop Store. We didn't buy that much stuff this time, just a couple of little things. But we have two very special projects that we're going to do with two of our Prop Store items. Get ready, motherfuckers! I wish we had a fucking box cutter. Okay, so this lot, two things came together. This is a mold that was used to create the mask of the salt vampire. Hi, Rich. Come on in. Well, this is smaller than I expected.
Oh, that's the salt vampire.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I thought you thought it was going to be a sex toy.
No, I did not. I mean, it looks like a sex toy. I wouldn't blame anybody for thinking that.
In an auction, which also contained, and this will be developed later in the future, a reel of film.
It came with the salt vampire head for some reason. It was just included with it.
The two items were part of an estate sale from a guy named Greg Jean. He passed in, I think, 2022. Mm. And so this stuff from his estate ended up in auction. And so he owned this.
Was it all Star Trek related stuff?
I didn't look at everything. I just saw the note that it was part of his estate sale. This could have been the only thing on the auction. I don't know. But he was a famous model maker himself. He did not make the mask, though. Mm. So the mold was originally made by a guy named Hua Chang, who goes back even further than Greg Jean. And his career goes back to the 1950s or 60s, you know, all miniature models and props and costumes and stuff like that. So I don't know the backstory behind it, but somehow Greg Jean then owned this mask. And he also had a reel of film. It's like masking tape from the 1960s. Nichelle Nichols at the communications station. It's in black and white. I don't see an audio track. A 35 millimeter reel of film.
It's the mystery reel at this point.
Yeah, it's black and white. It's TOS. We've looked at it. We see Nichelle Nichols in it and as Uhura, and it's clearly a shot from the show. And in the reel itself, there's many pieces of like masking tape holding cuts together.
Is it in pieces?
Oh, that's like a separate thing.
This piece is. Oh, there's some old. Oh, God, this is super. This has not been touched.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
At this point, barely holding it together.
Yeah.
That tape is like 70 years old. It's just crumbling.
So what is that? Our suspicions are that it's like some kind of work print something, or maybe cutting room floor shots left. Somebody wrapped it all up, taped chunks of it together, and put it in a reel.
But that'll be a video for a future date.
It'll be
we're,
a video.
We're sending that off to get it scanned, digitized, and then we'll review
spliced
the results.
Spliced together.
Spliced together because it's barely holding together right now.
Well, you can't run, I'm assuming you can't run film through a scanner that's held together by masking tape from 1965.
So,
it's got to be properly spliced together and scanned.
That'll be a timely process. Once we get that, we'll examine it. Maybe it'll turn out to be some sort of piece of lost Star Trek media, but it's most likely just some sort of quick print to do sound effects or something.
Yeah, more likely it's going to be just a work print, or maybe it's outtakes, ends of reels, and the guy collected them. Mm. Who knows? It's a mystery.
It's a cut scene of that salt vampire just given the gnarliest BJ.
Oh.
McCoy wanted to fuck this thing.
Yeah. But
mystery to be solved at a later date. We don't even know when we're going to get it back. Could be weeks, could be months.
If it's not so interesting, we're probably not going to make a video about it. We'll just post about it on our Patreon and let everybody there know.
Well, yeah, we'll do a little like a watch along on our Patreon.
Yeah,
how about that? Yeah. Join our Patreon that we never promote.
Right,
maybe you'll see that in a year and a half.
We don't know how long the scan's going to take, but. Yeah. Mystery to be solved at a later date. But so we it was like, hey, you know, that's a neat thing. This fiberglass, is that what it's made out of?
Yeah, fiberglass.
I think this was probably a quickie job for the sculptor, because I think he worked in movies making like lots of art, lots of different art, you know. And then he went on to make sculptures. Hmm. So I'm sure this was like a 5-minute job. But
detailed enough, lots of texture on the skin.
Yeah. So, it is an iconic science fiction movie creature, well known throughout fandom. And I've seen things on the internet where people have recreated the mask and tried to make their own version of it, and it looks a little off. So we own the original mold of the Salt Vampire mask, and or we could put it on our shelf in our case, but Jay has purchased mold making materials.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is hopefully not damage this, but we're going to make a negative mold of plaster of Paris, then create a positive of that from liquid latex.
This is just to prevent it, like when they start pouring it on, this is just so that it doesn't just like completely fall all over the whole sides of it. It's just like a stop. What I could use, if someone wants to get me something, just to hold this in place underneath the head.
Sure. Oh, all that foam.
Some foam, yeah.
Rich, there's that box right there on the best of the worst table. Hurry!
It's urgent.
Faster.
More intense.
He's throwing the foam so it gets there quicker. He's throwing the foam so it, oh God, he just stopped. Oh, God.
I
hurry!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The salt vampire needs salt.
Years and years ago, we made a movie called Feeding Frenzy, and I made the little monsters for that movie, and that was my first real experience making, like, molds and stuff. So you make your mold. In that case, I sculpted the creatures out of clay. Here we have the fiberglass head. So you make a mold of that using alginate, which is the same stuff they use to make a mold of your teeth at the dentist office. So pour that over the fiberglass head and then put some plaster over that just to help it retain its shape, because that alginate is rubbery and flexible. Mm-hmm. So just so it stays rigid on the outside.
What's that?
This is casting latex. Now we will pour this into the mold.
So that's what Harvey Weinstein put on his penis?
And then I poured casting latex, which is the same stuff they use to make like Halloween masks, into the mold, swish it around, do a couple layers of that so it's a little bit thicker, and then bam, you got a salt vampire.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that. It happened. It looks pretty good.
And then we handed it over to master painter Rich Evans.
You're right. Rich was given a task.
As someone who has never, ever painted with an airbrush before, we said, Rich, you're in charge of this.
No, we used airbrush. That was the best method to...
That's generally how like masks are painted. You use a specific type of paint that has latex mixed into it, so it'll adhere to the latex mask and not just like dry and crack.
And then interesting, the mask doesn't have a back of the head. It's just mainly made for the face because it's covered up with hair.
Yeah.
But really, like, we don't have the hands. I want to try to get those. Mm. I think they exist.
Are they out there somewhere, like the mold of the hands?
The actual hands might be out there.
Oh.
And as of right now, I don't know the fate of the actual salt vampire mask. Mm. I don't know if it exists anymore or if it's in someone's private collection or what.
Yeah.
If we could somehow acquire it someday, that'll be great. Then we could throw this one in the garbage.
That'll make the last 2 weeks of our life just a complete waste.
Hey, you know, what else?
Chuck it up with the rest of our lives, I guess.
Right. And then the last step?
Then we're going to put it on like a ski mask just to have something for it to attach to. And then add the hair, wrap the hair up a little bit, add a little fur underneath its chin there.
And then
the teeth. Yeah, you got to put the teeth in that vagina mouth.
Right.
You don't have a proper vagina mouth without teeth.
I always found it odd that the salt vampire has a very suctiony mouth, but gets all of its salt from its suction cups on its fingers.
Mm. Do you think, because it was an older time, do you think the implication of what that mouth is capable of is meant to be there, but they just couldn't comment on it because of the era that it was made?
You know, maybe it was a little bit of both. Maybe like the salt vampire like put its suction cups on your neck, and then mouth to mouth you, and then like the sensors of the time were like, that's a little sexual and weird. How about just the suction cups? Yeah. But we made this mask, and it's got a big suction cup mouth. Maybe that was for, you know, other things.
It wasn't someone's private collection for a very long time.
So, the most important question on everyone's mind is the fiberglass mold of the salt vampire head okay?
Mostly.
What happened?
Oh, it cracked a little bit in the back.
Silicones that you pour and...
I think it cracked a little bit.
I'm freaking out. That was very scary.
But nothing's wrong with the face.
But the face is completely fine. That's the other thing, too, that was interesting is that, yeah, it is. You can see the line around it.
Yeah.
The back of the head is not meant to be... There's no detail on it or anything. So it is just that face that was meant to be what the mold was made from.
Cool.
So, yeah, no, the fiberglass head is mostly intact. A little bit of plaster on it we got to wash off.
We did not damage this priceless artifact that belonged to the famous model maker, Greg Jean. Rest in peace.
We haven't damaged it yet, but give us time.
No. It's going in our new glass cabinet of props next to the head recreation to honor the salt vampire.
It's in there to honor the moment where Spock just beats the shit out of a woman.
Yeah, that's it. The best moment in all Star Trek history. He was pretty sure she was the salt vampire.
Okay, well that's, you know. As long as he's pretty sure. We didn't even mention that we have a Freddy hand.
Oh, yeah. I also bought a Freddy hand. Jay is excited about this. There it is. The scene where she busts his hands back.
I forgot how much it hurts to be human.
We now own a prop from the worst Nightmare on Elm Street movie.